Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are known, from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who on the holy mount revealed to chosen witnesses your well-beloved Son, wonderfully transfigured, in raiment white and glistening, mercifully grant that we, being delivered from the disquietude of this world, may by faith behold the King in his beauty, who with you, O Father, and you, O Holy Spirit, lives and reigns, one God forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining. And Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to refresh your memory, since I know that my death will come soon, as indeed our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow clearly devised myths when we were made known to you of the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we have been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am very well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the mountain. So we have the prophetic message more firmly confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit, and which spoke from God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and he went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood there with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said, "Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. And from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent in those days and told no one any of the things that they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Peter, he saw those three people there. He built those three dwellings. He said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." But he didn't know what he was saying. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So I understand that Perry was here last Sunday with you. I told Perry, "You got to keep the quality of the sermon down here. I do not need any competition going on." You will be happy to know that I, too, went to church last Sunday, right? Because when I'm on vacation, I go to church. That way, I can get on to you when you don't go to church, right? I remember being up at St. Timothy's at Signal Mountain, and I'd be in the grocery store and run into somebody and from the church, and they would say, "I'm so sorry I wasn't in church on Sunday." And I would think to myself, should I say that I didn't notice that they were not in church? "It's my Sunday, is that..." And I would say, "Yeah, that's terrible. It's terrible." So I visited this little place in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was in a wedding, or I was at a wedding, I should say, last Saturday in Cincinnati. This was a friend of Casey's. And there we were. And this particular group of people liked to celebrate heartily. And so the wedding went until like 1 a.m. And you would think I was having fun, but from like 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., I was the whole time I was thinking, I should be in bed right now. But I got up and I went to church, and there I was that Sunday morning, and I went to this little place in Cincinnati on the south side there called Our Savior, and I was looking for something a little bit different that I might learn from, and it was a bilingual congregation. And so the service was all done in Spanish and in English. Like one reading in English, one reading in Spanish. The gospel was done in both. She preached in both languages, sort of. And it was this transformative experience. The Spirit was so alive in this little place. And we walk in and we're in the parish hall. We're worshiping in the parish hall. And you know, we've done that at St. Albans because our air condition had gone out. Well, they had chosen for the summer not to use air condition. It was a choice, which I thought, you can make that choice in Ohio. I don't know if you can make that choice in Chattanooga. I don't know. We'll talk about it at the next parish meeting. See whatever, just to think about. Somebody's shaking their head already. So we were in the parish hall because they had made this choice. The fans were going. And the room was full of all kinds of different folks. There were African-American folks, there were Latinx folks, there were people who were facing intellectual and physical disabilities that were there in the back. There were the littlest, you know, from the oldest. There was just this collection of folks. And that was striking to me. But what was most striking about this experience was the priest, when she got up there to begin her the service, and it started like 15 minutes late, by the way, which I guess is that's just how it is, right? So that doesn't happen here, by the way. We are on time. So this thing starts, and she gets up there, and there's tears in her eyes, and she starts to talk about, and I'd been at this wedding. She started talking about the shootings that had happened in El Paso and in Ohio, like right down the street, right? Just brokenhearted. And so after the service, I went up to her and I said, "Man, I was so inspired by this thing. And so it seemed that this was pretty raw for you, this gun violence." And she told me that there were members of that little congregation who that's in a sort of lower socioeconomic neighborhood who had fallen victim to gun violence. They had lost four or five folks to gun violence over the years. And that it was resting hard on her heart. And so I went from Cincinnati to Wisconsin. I was in Wisconsin with the five-month-old. You could hold her like this. Not that I would do that. She was tiny. And so I held on to her for a long time. I also got to interact with Zeke. Ezekiel is 2 years old, was born with spina bifida, hitting all his intellectual markers, but his physical markers, he's got some challenges ahead. But man, he's meeting them with a lot of grace. And the kid hangs out with his abuelo and abuela, who immigrated from Colombia. And so he's a Spanish-speaking kid, more than English. And so, oh man, and it was like on. So I was trying to reach deep into my brain for my Spanish. And he had that Colombian Spanish, which is different than the Peruvian Spanish that I learned. So he's saying words that, you know, that double L in Spanish that sounds like a Y? In some cultures, it's a ch, it's a j, instead of a yeah. And so I was like all kinds of lost. But he and I were connected. And finally, by Wednesday, I think we were in our group. We were talking about the oso and the boca and the cabello, which is the horse, the cow, and the bear, right? We were talking about all those things. And by Wednesday morning, we were there together, and we had breakfast. We were out at this little place. And abuelo and abuela came to meet us on Wednesday morning. And they sat down at the table, tears in their eyes. And so, you know, ¿qué pasa? What's going on? And they tell me that about the raids that happened that morning, where some 600 or so folks were hit by ICE agents. And they were particularly crying because children came home from school that day, were going to be coming home from school that day to no parents. And this was hitting them particularly hard. And so there I was, Robert, Christian, hopefully disciple, priest of the church, wondering, what am I to do? What am I to say? What am I to do? How do I respond to these things that are happening in our culture as a person, as a Christian, as a disciple, and as a priest in a community? And man, I'll just tell you, I was lost and a little bit anxious and overwhelmed. And I don't know if you ever feel that way about the world around you, right? I mean, these issues are fraught with political sort of rhetorical partisanism, right? And so they're just hard. They're hard for us to move into, and we wonder what we do. And I can say to you, as an honest person who loves you and hopefully that you love me, is that what my values dictate is that this country needs less guns and we need better, more compassionate laws around our borders. But I also can say, I can say that to you, and then I can say, but I have dear, close, wonderful, trusted, smart friends who would say to me, yeah, but the government shouldn't be responsible for my security, and so I take personal responsibility for that. And I know other folks who would say, here are the why it's important for us to have secure borders. It's not, and here we have the values in conflict, the goods in conflict, right? And what are we to do? What is us gospel people, disciples of Jesus, how are we to respond? How do we are to enter into these conversations? And we can't ignore them. I can't come in front of you today and ignore these things, right? Can't do that because they're here. They're here. So what are we to do? If we look to today's gospel, and I'm glad we chose the transfiguration, and for you readers, I'm really sorry that we threw you that curveball, but we're reading the transfiguration readings. The Feast of the Transfiguration was earlier this week. We moved it to Sunday. And so here we have Jesus up on this mountain. And what we miss, because The framers of the lectionary always kind of miss something. What we miss is that right before this story, Jesus is hanging out with his friends and his disciples and some other folks, and they're walking around, and Jesus says to his disciples, this is famous, you remember this, who do people say that I am? And you remember they say, well, some say this and some say that, but Jesus says, what do you say? What do you say? Sort of reaching through that book from the first century into the 21st century, grabbing us by the shoulders, saying, but you, what do you say? Who do you say that I am? And it's Peter who says, you're the Messiah, the Christ, right? And something different happens in Luke's gospel. Instead of that whole weird, get behind me, Satan thing, instead, in Luke's gospel, what happens is that Jesus says, you're right, and the Messiah is on his way to Jerusalem, and if you are going to be a follower of mine, then day by day, Jesus says, day by day, you have to take up your cross and follow me. You have to give yourself over to this world day by day. That's what it means to be on board with the Messiah, right? And they've obviously missed it because they get up there to the mountain, right? And there's the glory. You've got the prophets, Elijah. You've got the law, Moses. You've got the heavenly voice, the dazzling white, the transfigured face, right? And Peter's response, which is all of our response, is to say, let's hold on to this. Can we build three places and hold on to them? You know, we have built this place, right? We've got out of wood and glass and stone and beauty, right? We've built this place, hoping to hold on to it. And maybe we wonder, maybe the fear of mine, the temptation of ours, is to sit in this place and hope that the gospel is going to infuse into our skin so much that we know how to react to what happened in El Paso and what happened in Ohio and what happened in Mississippi, right? But that's not how it works. We don't get to just build these places, right? Jesus says you have to follow me to Jerusalem. Day by day, you have to take up your cross. When I look around at me in the world around me and I see that at work, what I see is I have this friend, Alondra is her name. Alondra is a what you call a dreamer. She was brought here by her parents at age 8 from a South American country. She has no technical status, citizenship status. She shows up at immigration hearings. She shows up to protest when ICE does different things. She shows up with groceries to people who are undocumented. She shows up in people's lives. So I see that on one hand. On the other hand, I see my friends Pat and Jan. Pat and Jan are so convicted by their pro-life ideas in the world that they spent their formative parenting years not only raising their 4 kids, but fostering dozens and dozens of infants, putting their money where their mouth is, right? So I can see this at work. So then how does the gospel land with us? St. Thaddeus Episcopal Church, Chattanooga, Tennessee. How does it land with you, a follower of Jesus, a Christian, right? How does it land with me? What are we to do? How do we get out of our own skin into the world, right, and meet people soul to soul? How do we do this work? How do we do it? I mean, I'm wrestling with that. I can tell you what I believe deeply in my heart. It is not done by standing behind our ideology and our rhetoric. It is not done that way. It's not done on Facebook or Twitter, right? It's not done in those places, right? It's done physically connected, where our soul connects with other folks' soul. I had this experience one time where I went into Southside Abbey, and if you don't know what Southside Abbey is, it's this worshiping community. It's Episcopal. Now it meets at St. Paul's. It used to meet at the Hart Gallery. They do the Eucharist sort of like you might have done the Eucharist in the first and second century, where people come around a meal, a literal meal, food is served, the gospel is read, stories are shared, right? Inspired for the Christian work and sent out into the world, right? And over time, this has become a community sort of homeless people, and just people facing homelessness, right? And so there's more people who are homeless there than there are people who are not homeless. And one day I show up to Southside Abbey, it's one Friday afternoon, and I get there a little bit late, and I walk in the door, and there's this row of folding chairs there, right? And there's a group of men in the folding chairs, and as I walk in, I hear the guy at the very end of the chairs say to the man next to him, he says, "You smell like piss," and he gets up and walks off. And I think, well, I can't smell, so I just sit next to this guy. Lost my sense of smell when I was a little kid. So I just sit down next to that guy, and immediately that guy sitting next to me becomes the most annoying person I've ever met in my entire life. He reminded me of my Uncle Chan. My Uncle Chan was this guy who would get you in a headlock. He said he's putting his arm around you, but he was not putting his arm around you. He was getting you in a headlock. Right? And he would say to you, he would say to me, "Bobby, hustling wins ball games." And I didn't know what that meant. I just wanted to get out of this man's gross underarm, right? That's kind of what I want. It was that situation. This guy had his arms around me. He didn't understand personal space. And so so there we are sitting together. And all of a sudden, the people who are running Southside Addy that day, they say to us, I think mistakenly, but they say to the group, they say, okay, so we chose to do soup today, and we know it's cold outside. We're sort of running low. So if you could be conservative in how much you grab, which was like a signal to everybody, like, there's not enough scarcity, right? And so it comes to mealtime, and man, it's like all elbows, right? People are getting up to that table, and they're getting their soup, and it's a mad dash, and I'm sitting there in that chair, and my man, Uncle Chan, he runs up there, he grabs a bunch of soup, he comes back, and he's sitting down, and he's got like a full bowl of soup, and it's kind of dripping over the side there, and I'm like, oh gosh, this is awful. And we're sitting next to each other, and he and I, at the same time, we look across the room, and about 20, 25 yards away, there's this woman, clearly homeless, clearly pregnant, dejected look, empty bowl. My man, Uncle Chan, gets up, walks over, hands her the bowl. And in that moment, something happened. It was transfigured. His face was dazzling white, right? Just like my friend Alondra, just like my friend Pat and Jan, just like Oscar's parents, right? Just like that priest in South Cincinnati, right? All of a sudden, God opened up something and revealed that the Holy Spirit is at work in these folks, right? That's what happened in that moment for me. I believe ardently that what today's gospel teaches us is that we are all broken. We all know what it feels like to sit there with an empty bowl, right? And the question that Jesus is asking us is that if we will follow him with that brokenness into a broken world, if we will pick up our cross day by day by day. And the temptations, sisters and brothers, is to not do that. It's to sit behind our computer screens and our editorials, right? And to say, this is our values and there's our rhetoric and the rest of the world be damned. That's the temptation, right? And the world's full of that. We've got plenty of that. What is desperately needed, is for us to follow Jesus with our cross into those relationships and to give those values some meaning. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand. Let us profess our faith by saying the Nicene Creed found on page 8. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God, begotten, not made, of one being the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people found on page 8 in your bulletin. God, enliven the church for its mission. Breathe fresh life into your people.
Give us the power to reveal Christ in his word and action.
Awaken in us a sense of wonder for the earth and all that is in it. Give grace to all whose lives are linked with ours, especially those on our prayer list. Margaret, Steve, Nicole, J.R., John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Jimmy, Martha, Ryan and Haley, Teddy, Richard, Irene, June, Michael, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Pat, Alberta, Jane, Tony, Zach, Chuck and Betsy, Michael, Clara, Georgina, Joycey, Bill, Martha, Shane, Judy, Pat, David, Randy, Judy, Jeff, Melvin and Barbara, Sherry, Jason, Hannah, Terry, Felicia, Dennis, Doug, Brett, Kim, Laura, Carolyn, Mason, Cameron, Daniel, Samuel, Carol, Dawn School. God of hope and comfort, restore all who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Who do you pray for? We give thanks for the blessings of this life.
Thank you for our Kyle Gill, for the worship team, for Alter Gill.
We remember with thanksgiving those who have died in the faith of Christ and those whose faith is known to you alone.
Into your hands we commend them. Almighty God, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we sinned against you in thought or word or deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please stand. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you.
Thank you.
I can say that for two more minutes. That's right. Let's reel it on in. God's peace, Jerry. Just a couple of things to talk about that are important for us. One is that a group of people went to Dawn School last Thursday and met a bunch of folks and had conversations with teachers. And so there were several people who went, and then there were more people who provided food for that experience. And so it was a blessed time. I had a fantastic time, and I met a lot of folks and had some conversations, a couple that I want to highlight. One is the principal of that school. She had poison ivy on her legs. And the reason she had poison ivy was because she had been out around the school doing the yard work that nobody else would do, right? This is a public school here in Chattanooga. Another one is that one of the teachers took us into her room. Jane was in there with me. We saw folks in that room. And she had all this stuff, this really cool stuff. And I would say, what, like 70% of that was her personal stuff that she had brought to be able to be with children and teach children. So the Dawn School serves kids from kindergarten age all the way up to like folks in their 20s. And so the teachers there are hugely dedicated, very versatile folks. We have decided as a church to support them. And so if you haven't noticed, in the narthex, there is a big box that you can make drop-off items for the teachers. And there's a list of things that are needed that is in your bulletin. So take a look at that. Take a look at that. Our worship committee will meet tomorrow evening at Heidi's house. Where is this? What is the name of it again? Windsor? Ashwood Square. Bob and Joan will be there too. Come if you're interested. 6 o'clock tomorrow, we'll be talking about the future of worship at our church and what we got going on. The worship committee have all written prayers that are going to go into the prayers of the people starting either next Sunday or the Sunday after. So a lot of exciting things going on. So if you want to be a part of that group, please join us. Like always, every Saturday we do our pantry. And the last Saturday of the month, we're working on having a movie and some food and stuff going on here. So be a part of that, Christian.
Before we opened the door yesterday, there was a line. The Chattanooga Community Kitchen has actually put up a big poster. So we served 30-something individuals yesterday.
So a lot of exciting things going on.
A lot of exciting things, and they were right here.
Yeah.
We need more volunteers for the greeting. And there's new cards in the back that you can pass out that say that it's for those in need.
So if you'd like to help, you're hugely invited to do that. And Christian is the person to talk to, also George. Okay. All right. Any other announcements? Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to God. Thank you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks for grace.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, we praise you. Joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection.
We await
his coming, Lord.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Moses, Elijah, Thaddeus, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name,
thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
that I felt of times before.
pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now a world of peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. The closing hymn is missing a line. And which hymn is it? Is it 293. It's hymn 293 in your hymnal, in your blue hymnal. So you don't have to miss anything. 293. Last line of that song gives it away as a British song, doesn't it?
Yes.
Meeting saints at Lanes or at tea, folks. We can do it. Alleluia, alleluia, let us go forth rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.